welcome to this edition of the Hagman Report, Doug Hagman. And I've got to tell you, I was looking forward to today. I felt cheated. I felt cheated when I was on the road to Missouri. I think I stopped in St. Louis. I don't recall. At any rate, I felt cheated by not being able to speak with and interview Rox Cella. Now, if that name sounds familiar, it should, because her resume, if I was to print it out, remember that old computer paper where it's, you know, it's like one continuous sheet. It'd be like from here to my office, which is quite a distance in the studio here. But having said that, so I felt cheated, and I'm glad that she's back for a return visit to the Hagman Report. Rox Cella is hosting executive. Well, she's part of the Matt T Show. Okay, now she heads up. I would say she heads up what I would or the Matt T Show, host of the Matt T Show, and she is a woman that I'm not stalking her. Okay, not Eric the Tech, easy now. No, I'm not stalking her, but I'm following her work because it's amazing to me the information that she uncovers. I cannot say enough good about Rox Cella. I really can't, except to say, boy, I'm glad I'm back, and I'm glad I have the opportunity to talk with her. Rox Cella, welcome to the program.
Wow, what an intro. I'm excited.
I'm excited to have you. You know, what's that? Oh, according to Eric the Tech, who just threw some sign language and some... Can you turn on your video if you prefer? Or no?
You don't see me, huh?
Don't see you. Can't okay. See you.
Wow, I wonder why it won't let me see.
There should be a little camera icon with a line through it.
Yes. I thought it was on, then changed its mind. Okay.
All right.
Better?
It takes a minute. We've got a 7-second delay. Okay, there we go. Yeah. There you are.
I'm here.
Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Doug. Joe, I guess Joe's there.
Yeah, Joe is here. Actually, he's coming right back. He left the desk because I told him to leave. I said, hey, you had your chance. Now it's my chance. But no, he's coming. He's coming back. So
you were gone for a whole week.
I was, and my dog, boy, was she upset with me. But I did happen to catch the interview with you and John, and I just, if you don't mind, let me start over. Not that they did a bad job, but for those people just joining us, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you got kind of red-pilled and kind of dragged into the arena of politics.
Oh, you mean kicked?
Yeah, there you go.
Kicked and pushed. No. Well, as you know, right now I'm currently one of the co-hosts of the Mad T Show and also host of the Mad Deep Show. And I'll just go back a little bit. I started a TV show here in South Florida. It airs all the way through Miami, and we've aired in New York and various other, you know, states. And it's called The Palm Beach Rocks. And one of my very first shows 14 years ago was with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. And I've been kind of interviewing him in and out over the last 14 years, 13 years, up until all of this other goodness happened where he became president, and it changed the whole complex of Palm Beach, getting in and out and traffic and everything.
Now I got to ask, in terms of your relationship with him, your professional relationship, are you able to like pick up the phone, or were you up as a candidate when he was a candidate?
Well, I could, sure. I would say my producer would.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you've interviewed him like dozens of times, right?
Yes, dozens. Okay. And it's all been for charity, philanthropic. I told the boys the last time I interviewed him, I said, I don't want you to think I was stalking our president. But, you know, we just do so much philanthropic, and we do such really incredible things here in South Florida, and having the opportunity to work with our president. Back then, I realized really what a neat person he was, and it boils down to all of the things that people have said about him in the last 6 months are really people who have never bothered to research him. Back in the day when he first bought Mar-a-Lago, at least probably I want to say about 20 years ago, I don't have the exact date with me, but during that period of time, everything was segregated. All of the clubs in Palm Beach, and you had the Jews here, you had the Christians here, never blacks, this or that. And he said, I was just never going to have any of this nonsense. When I opened the club Mar-a-Lago, I wanted it for everyone. I wanted all to be able to come. And he created that atmosphere, and things changed afterwards. And it was amazing to see that he could come there, and they did not want him at all. I mean, they didn't want to know about Donald Trump because he really didn't come from money. He didn't come from that type of family. He was a New Yorker. And Palm Beach is it's really niched in that they don't talk about things. They don't air their dirty laundry. It's really very quiet, and they do so much behind the scenes for charities that affect the world. And it's really amazing to see all the different things that he's done. I was telling the boys the other day that he went into this huge fight with Palm Beach. He, over this flagpole, and it had the American flag on it, and they said, you can't have that, it's too big. And, you know, be big or go home is our president's motto, more or less. And he said, no, I want it big. I want it out there. I've got 200 feet of water and intercoastal oceanfront. I want it out there. I want it big. So they started charging him several hundred dollars a day for not taking it down. Finally, after a couple of years, they finally agreed to let him have it, maybe not as tall as he'd like it. But they did agree. And they also settled on the amount of money. And he said, I'm not going to give it to Palm Beach County, I'm not giving it to you. So they said, well, there has to be something that we can resolve here. And he said, I'd like to donate that money to the veterans of my choice, the charity. And they said, absolutely. And that's what Donald did. And when you look at all these different things, how he loves America, how he loved the veterans, and how he felt about everyone, blacks, whites, and I look at these people that are screaming that he's, you know, all these different things, and I look back 15, 14 years ago, and that was never the case.
Interesting.
And
go ahead.
Yeah, and I think what's amazing is he brings that attitude, that personality to the White House. And I can tell you he has not changed. He takes no prisoner, that man.
Well, you know, as Willich, to me, and I think, I think in large part, and this is just my view. I was talking with my wife about this, and many people complain about his abruptness, his frankness, what he says, and he says what's on his mind. It kind of sometimes is unfiltered, but nonetheless, it's what people really want to hear, and they find it refreshing. The snowflakes find it offensive, and but you know what you see with Donald Trump, I believe, is what you get: the man, the words. I mean, like me, look, the stutters, the imperfections, but it's from the heart, and I think it's kind of the same way with Donald Trump. And I'm not comparing myself to him; I'm just saying that.
You know, oh, you can.
Okay, now you know Donald Trump. You know the man. That's a fair statement, right? I mean, you
mm-hmm.
Okay.
It is.
All right. So what is your overall, obviously, very positive, but specifically, what's your overall feeling about Donald Trump, the president, as well as Donald Trump, the man? Is he fit for the job?
Yeah. Yes, he okay. is. He's a New Yorker.
Enough said there, yeah.
I mean, they just are. And the New Yorkers, you know, he comes from, his father was very wealthy. He did very well in the real estate, and he was able to endow that to his son. And it got our president going. So he's always been a business tycoon, and I think in America, that's really what we wanted. I think we were looking for that. But yet, 6 months later or 5 months later, we're all complaining that he wasn't the kind of man they wanted in the White House. And that's really not fair, because he is a businessman, and he's gonna put whatever the obstacle is right out there in front. He's just that way. He's not going to put it to the side and say, well, okay, we'll deal with that later. He's not going to. He's going to call it. He did with the NFL. And that's who our president is. Like it or not, that's who he is. And we really, do you want to change him, Doug? I know I don't.
No, I find him refreshing. look, I'm not a guy that, I'm not the most articulate of people. However, I like the fact that if something is on my mind, and my wife could tell you this, I say what's on my mind. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. And it's refreshing, especially in politics right now. For so many years, we've had this false gravitas, this false, decorum, this sense of decorum, when in fact it was nothing but lies upon lies upon lies. Now, what Van Jones described as a white lash, I have described it as a cultural whiplash, because you go from the lies, you go, you know, now we're speaking truth. We're talking in a New York, New Jersey kind of way, and I think that's refreshing for me.
I never understood the white lash comment, because if Hillary Clinton won, she's white as well. What would that have been called?
Yeah.
But anyway.
hell on earth, but.
Would have been had she become president.
Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly.
And I just want to say one other thing that I absolutely love. I love seeing prayer back in our White House. That to me just says so much.
Oh, I agree, and it's
especially prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas during the Bill Clinton presidency, you had Hillary summoning Eleanor Roosevelt and doing God knows what else.
Exactly.
You're right. There is a element of faith there. He's having pastors being brought in to pray for him. He has done some faith initiatives as an executive order, whereas we saw the former President Obama fight Christian religion and embrace Islam in the White House. And to see the restoration of a Christian faith in the leader of the free world is very refreshing in this day and age. Sad to say this, but that's all we can really ask for.
That's right. And something else I thought was a beautiful thing, the Prime Minister of Israel was making a comment, and how beautiful it was to see the President kissing the ancient wall. And I have to agree. I think that was really something to see. And I think America should be proud of our President.
I absolutely agree with you on this. And Eric the Tech, if we can, and folks, we're going to be skipping the bottom of the hour network break, just because I want to spend as much time with Roxchella as possible.
Okay. I'm glad. Thank you.
And you've got so I follow you on Twitter. And by the way, on Twitter, it is the Matt T Show, right? Or am I wrong?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's correct.
Okay. And Facebook, it's the same. And of course, the website is themadtshow.com.
Yes. I just love that name, right? The Matt T Show.
Yeah.
I love it. I love everything about it. And I love our producer, Robin. I think so much of her. She just is so dedicated and committed to it, as you gentlemen know what it takes. And the thing that I admire most about her is she just feels that she has to know the truth. And I think this is what has happened on Twitter, Facebook, in the internet, that people are going there to find truth. You don't always find it, I gotta be honest. You have to be willing to sort through things, because a lot of it, when I go, oh yes, rah, yeah, I'm all for it, and then I find out it's not true.
Exactly.
You know, Twitter, and it gets a little frustrating. But that's one thing that she prides herself on, as you do, Doug, that the truth has to be said, and it has to be out there. And people need to awaken to the fact that there are people who really do care.
And I think a lot of times we understate the or we overstate the fact that there are too many who don't care, when we fail to recognize those who do and the impact of those who do, and oftentimes we fail to recognize the impact of people such as yourself in your show and your social networking presence, your initiatives. So I think in the large, to some extent, although the landscape's different and the battle is more hostile, I think we're gaining some ground. And, so that makes me happy.
Okay.
You know, now, I drafted up a whole list of questions. I left it on my desk, so I don't have them. But
oh, no.
It doesn't matter. Because I guess what I really want to know, in your, well, before you even go there, tell people where they can listen and watch the Matt T Show, the times and locations.
Sure. We're on, well, of course, on YouTube. We're on every day,
right?
You know, 24/7. But we're airing on Saturday evenings at 8 o'clock on YouTube, Facebook. The show, of course, is an online show. But right. We deal with all types of issues. And then I also, as I said earlier, I host the Mad Deep. And the Mad Deep, I've been fortunate to have some wonderful guests like Melissa Honeybee.
Oh, yes.
And a lot of people like this, Tracy Bean. And we just really get into the thick of what's going on. And, you know, having just taken the red pill, so to speak, about 6 or 7 months ago, it has been really an eye-opening experience for me, coming from the Hollywood industry. I've interviewed thousands of titans, not titans of industry only, but celebrities, presidents of countries, Ethiopia, Orbis, the eye hospital that travels all around the world and does cornea transplants inside the hospitals, and worked with Richard Branson. And I've done some amazing things. And I really never stopped to think that there was anything other than what I was showing my viewers. I mean, you think 15 years on NBC, that you would have seen a scandal or two, or, you know, maybe I heard them, certainly Harvey Weinstein and some of these great people. And I always said, well, you know, we don't talk politics, we don't talk religion, so I never really got any deeper than that. I've worked with I've been to BBC. I mean, I've worked with BBC and have flown over to London for the wedding. And I think, Joe, you might remember, I was telling you then that I was there and I was scared to death. There were thousands of people, thousands of reporters, and there were no security guards. There was nothing. A few people, a few military on horses, but that's about all you saw. And I thought this was a frightening experience. And looking back on all these things, I thought I never once dreamed that my life was going to change so drastically as it did when I took the red pill. I said, you know, people can't imagine. You hear things, you hear this, you hear that, and you don't want to look at people like that. You don't want to look at an industry like that. But I the realization quick that it's out there.
So what you're referring to is when and how you got red pilled.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just to be clear, what was the event again? Simply when you facepalm, oh my goodness, things aren't like.
I went through some challenges in my life and in my business, my career, and I had to have surgery and a lot of other things going on, and I was really questioning where I was and what was going on and my business, and it just seemed shallow. And I was looking for something else to do, and I had just started courses in my church that I had just recently joined. And out of it came Robin. I had seen an advertiser from one of my agents, and they had said, you know, she's interested in perhaps doing something in the politics. And I said, that's not for me. I've never really spent any time in that area. And I spoke with her, and she said, no. She said, I think that let's see first where you fall. And I can tell you, I said, I'm right in the middle. And I took a quiz, and I'm right down the middle, and neither Democratic or Republican. And she said, well, that's what we're looking for. I'm looking for a co-host. And the other girls that are in our show are from different areas of the United States. And Terry and Jenna and Diana, we have just had a blast. But they said, look it, you got to jump into this. You got to get in. And I go, oh, no way. This is something that's going on here in politics. I said, and this has to do with our president, Donald Trump. I said, this is crazy. Fake news, CNN. When you look at it, Doug, and you look at, since he took office, it's moved so quickly. All of these changes.
Oh, yeah.
All of these things that people are saying, I never thought that. I never imagined that. And now we're the whites against the black. I mean, who would even think that? I didn't. Well, who would think Hollywood was so corrupt, as they say?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, the racial divide. Hollywood versus the rest of the American public. You know, the politicians versus the taxpayers. The, you know, the 1% versus the rest of the people in the world.
But this is Obama's legacy we're seeing right now. Yeah. Am I right?
Yes. And who thought about the deep state? I go, excuse me, girls.
Yeah.
What's the deep state? Is that someplace down south? I mean, should I know about this? I have no clue.
Yeah, it's Georgia.
It's not that I don't watch the news, but it's like, oh, okay, next. And I've always felt that I would support whatever president came in, you know, number 44 or...
Right.
And I always felt that I was an American and that I cared about our country, especially our war heroes. But I never imagined such corruption as is being exposed right now.
You know, and ladies and gentlemen, we did not rehearse this interview. So these are all honest questions and honest answers, and this is from the heart. A discussion, kind of a kitchen table discussion, if you will, between conservative, patriotic Americans, and unafraid to talk about our beliefs. And now, having said that, what do you think right now? Because you follow current events, you domestic events and geopolitical events. When you look out over the landscape, what do you think is the most, in your view anyway, the most important issue that we face right now? Or the perhaps the most threatening issue? Or something maybe that other people aren't seeing? Whatever. What's kind of first and foremost in your mind today?
Well, I think that President Donald Trump may never be someone that brings total unity to the White House because he is so different. He is not a politician. He doesn't claim to be. And I admire him for that. But I do admire him also for the way he's handling North Korea. I think that Obama and many other presidents have tried different ways with no success. I think he's doing a very business-minded technique where he's just kind of being a bully, which Kim Jong has been for years. And I think that they're noticing. And I feel it's a good, positive thing. And I know people are going to say, your audience is going to say, oh, she's a little crazy. She should calm it down a bit. But no, I think this is what we wanted from our president, is to be strong. And I am very upset with the NFL. I never imagined, and I'm a numbers person, I don't have them with me, but I never imagined we were giving them the type of taxes, the monies.
Oh, that's crazy, isn't it?
Yes, man. It is. It's frightening. They could build stadiums with what we've given them, besides paying for the tickets and
billions of dollars. Billions of dollars for each stadium in each city. I believe there's 32 NFL teams, and what, maybe every 2 years you get another football team that's rebuilding a new stadium next to the old one, or completely renovating the one they have. All at the taxpayer expense, when ticket, as you said, when ticket prices are so high. And another thing that really bothers me about the NFL, it's not only just the price of the tickets, it's the parking that you have to pay for that's astronomical. $20 for a hot dog, $10 for a pop. I mean, these people rip off the American people when they're trying to take their family
but
for an hour.
But that's free enterprise to some extent. Well, but I think
it is.
But rocks.
I disagree.
But you're really. I mean, and I am too. The offense there is the behavior. Correct, the behavior of the players and the.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, that is. It is amazing to me that I'm actually seeing something like this, and I am. I'm quite certain that America's really shocked, but the fact that our president took a strong aim on this, and here again, he called it out. He called it, whether we liked it or not, or how he said it, could have been a little nicer, but that's not him. And he called it out. I mean, he looks at something and sees what's right or wrong, and he tells you like it is. And that's,
exactly.
We have to. You know, we have to admire him for it, because I think we're thinking it in our hearts. We're thinking, oh, how long is this going to go on? And now they have 8-year-olds doing this. And it has to stop. It's not how we want to teach our children. It's not where we want to see America. We don't want to treat our military like that. I mean, I remember when my brother came home from Vietnam. It was horrible. Our country was so divided. We were in such shambles over our military, and I'll never forget that. And when I look at this, I think, how far are we going to go with this? And
you know,
it needs to be stopped.
With the I was not alive during the Vietnam War, but the way I feel today about war, I would have been on the front lines opposed protesting the Vietnam War.
Yes.
But you, it ends there. You don't belittle the soldiers who had to go and fight for the freedoms. And what's really messed up about it is to take those protests, to take that hostility and that anger, and aim it at those veterans, those soldiers who were over there fighting. It's one thing to oppose and protest it to the government who are making these policies, and who are deploying these troops into these areas. It's another thing to attack the soldiers whose job it is, whose duty it is to carry out those missions. Because if they did not carry out those missions, you know, they would face jail time. They would be in a lot of trouble. And you can't blame the soldiers. It's the policies of the government. But all the history that I've watched on the Vietnam War, it's disgraceful to see the way that they were treated.
Right, so you understand what I'm saying, and to think that we're going down that same rabbit hole, it bothers me. I think so much of our men and women that are there, that they deserve such respect from all of us. I mean, they're dealing with awful, awful people. The whole war situation is awful. It's always been awful, but
and thankfully, President Trump is now addressing the issue of the returning veterans, and you know, how poorly they have been treated for the last decade. Now it's a lot different. So I'm glad to see that take place as well.
Yet he's also deploying more in Afghanistan.
Afghanistan, yeah.
Now, we've got numerous countries, people from numerous countries listening. One question I've got from someone listening from Canada wants to know, you, based on your professional relationship with President Donald Trump, is there anything that people would be surprised to learn that you know that maybe you've shared on your show, but or maybe not, that perhaps you could share with our audience about the man, Donald Trump?
Well, one thing I will tell you right away is you're the only show I've ever gone on and spoken about Donald Trump, so I'm like this kept secret here.
Okay.
And shared it with anyone. So you're the first group of people, you know, it's, I've interviewed him, so I have thousands of hours of him in footage. And I'll tell you, the very first time I met Donald Trump, and Donald Trump, not president, and I had my crew there, and he was very late. I don't know, I guess his flight was late getting out of New York. And he was about, I want to say an hour and a half late, and there were probably five of us waiting for him inside Mar-a-Lago, and it was somewhere around 1 or 2 in the afternoon. And, you know, you can imagine, we have 2 cameras, I've got 3 guys, I've got a producer, another gal that's working with me, and we're all just hanging out, waiting. And the first thing he does when he comes in, says hello to everybody, and says, uh-huh, you're with NBC, and I said, yes, you know, Palm Beach Rocks. And he said, well, and all of a sudden he looked around, and he saw one of our camera cases, which was narrow and long, and it was leaning up against one of the couches in the seating area inside Mar-a-Lago. And he goes, who does that belong to? And my cameraman said, well, that would be mine. He goes, didn't your mother ever teach you anything? You don't put that stuff up against furniture. And I thought, oh, boy. Here goes my interview. I thought, oh, my goodness. And I realized that this man notices everything. He notices everything. And I thought that was something. And I see that followed true as a president. He notices everything. You think something's going to slide by? Nah, not going to happen.
Well, you know, I could never envision Donald Trump, the president, or Donald Trump, the man, sitting back in the Oval Office with his feet propped up on his desk.
Right, you never. No.
Wouldn't happen.
No, never happen. Kellyanne, I've seen her sitting in the White House with her feet propped up, her shoes off. They had a photo of that.
I saw that.
Oh, yeah, that made the rounds for weeks.
I had to laugh at that one. But, no, he's an amazing guy. Trump has done some really wonderful things. We've had a lot of charities that have been held at Mar-a-Lago. And I know 22 of them have dropped out as recently as last week. And I felt very sad about that. But, you know, it's going to take its course. It's going to take a while. I mean, he did jack up the price, naturally, once he became president, to the members. So it's going to probably balance itself out, I'm sure, over the next couple of years. But I've seen him say, listen, I don't want you to pay for the ballroom. You just use it, just pay for the food and do your tipping. And he goes, I want to donate that to you. And I've seen him go inside cars, model cars, and sign them and as part of an auction. And, you know, bring it up maybe $50,000, $75,000. Now I can't even imagine what that car would be worth. But I've seen him do some really incredible things, and he didn't have to. He prided himself in coming into town to be there to be a host for these different charities and to be on hand to greet everybody. And I will say that I saw this. I've seen him be very rude and abrupt with people, and you wouldn't want to get on the bad side of President Trump. No.
No. Wow. No. Okay. Now, give me an idea. Number one, how long have you known him? And a follow-up question to that, do you know his wife and other members of the family?
I've worked with Melania. I've interviewed Ivanka, his ex-wife, Ivana. His son, not too much with his sons, but one of them in New York City, I worked with him. I worked with his daughter when she was launching her clothing and shoe line. I worked with her then, and she's lovely. She is Donald Trump's daughter for sure.
Wow.
And Melania, I met Melania when Well, even way before I had the show that was going to Mar-a-Lago, maybe 17 years ago. And she was very young, and she's been interviewed, not so much interviewed, but, you know, she's been with me and Donald, President Trump, on many occasions when I've interviewed him, but she's always stayed behind him. She's never, that I have ever witnessed, go in front of him. Never. Yeah. That is just not her protocol.
Out of respect, is that what you're referring to, or?
Yeah, I believe so. And this was when she was first dating him.
Okay.
And she was always very, I don't know that shy is the word, but she was always behind him. And it's funny, I look back, there was I don't even know how many years ago, but there was a commercial. I don't know if any one of your audiences will remember, but there was a commercial with Aflac. And she was hired by Aflac, and she and the duck were together in a science-like place, I don't know, hospital kind of a thing. And they were doing the Frankenstein story. So they each had their helmets on, and they were going to be zapped, electrocuted. And after they did, her hair went straight up. It went crazy. She had the voice of the duck.
Oh.
And the duck had Melania's voice.
That was her?
Yes.
Wow.
President Trump couldn't stand it. He banned it. You will never find it. You will never see it. It's only in some of our memories. And I laughed, and I thought, oh, boy, he's not going to like that. He did not.
Well, now you're going back some time ago, I believe, right?
Yeah, I think about 17 years ago, yeah.
Okay, all right. Now, I've got to ask you this, and forgive me if any of these questions are repetitive since your last visit. Did you expect President or the candidate Donald Trump to win the election in 2016? Did you expect that, or did you think it was not going to happen?
Well, I'm going to weigh in two different ways on this.
Okay.
First of all, Palm Beach, I don't think there was anyone that voted for him.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I don't think anybody. Maybe had a couple. So there wasn't a lot of joy in that area of our town or state. And so that, you know, because of that, everybody thought, well, that's just not going to happen. He's just never going to make it. But Hillary did such a terrible job at campaigning. She had no platform. She didn't want to go into those towns, those cities that it required to reach out and touch these people to connect with them. She didn't want to do it. She already felt that she had it in the bag for, I think, a good year before the actual election.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't want to bother. And I think that bothered so many people. And they said, well, who do we have? Where are we going to go? Did I think Donald Trump was actually going to get it? He was really pretty brutal. But on the other hand, I thought he wasn't a politician. And maybe this is what we need at this time in America. And I think that's really why he won. That's my feeling.
You know, the amount of media coverage that was negative towards Trump before the election was 91% negative towards Trump. All the polls said that Hillary Clinton had a 99.9% chance of winning. We saw Chris Cuomo from CNN say that the media did everything they could to help her win. I bet in her mind there was no chance with all the stacking of the voting booths, with illegal aliens, with all the voter fraud, with all the corruption inside the DNC and the voting systems. I don't think she thought there was a chance in the world that she was going to lose this election.
Oh, no.
It was so bad she couldn't even come out on election night to give a concession speech. John Podesta had to come out and do it for her, probably because she was so enraged and out of control.
If I can interrupt here, in your travels, have you met or interviewed Hillary Clinton at all?
No.
Okay.
No.
Wow, that was a no.
That's good. I'm glad she said no.
Yeah. I mean, I do pick and choose a few. No.
Mm-mm. Okay. All right. Well, all right. What we're watching right now, and I think President Trump is getting really, I think he's the most harassed, obviously, the most harassed president we've ever had, especially in modern times.
Yeah.
Knowing him, and I'm going to say, well, is it fair to say that you know him kind of on a personal level? Is that okay? I mean,
no, I don't think that I would say a personal level. Sometimes when I think of personal, I think it's intimate. I just know from a different point of view. I know him as a softer shade of Trump. I think if I were to put it out there, that's how I put it out there. I mean, I've helped him choose the marble in the ladies' bathroom at the ballroom in Mar-a-Lago. So, you know, some really crazy moments with him. But I've seen a more softer shade. But I'll tell you, I don't know of too many people, nor have I met too many people in my life that could endure what our president is enduring right now.
And you're speaking actually to the crux of my question. When we see what's taking place here, this relentless campaign of destruction, you know, as Sean Hannity calls the destroy Trump media, and all the crap that Donald Trump is taking.
It's amazing.
I'll come right out and ask you, given the legal challenges, given the PR challenges, given the backstabbing, knowing the man as you do, do you believe he will prevail?
Yes.
Okay. And that's reassuring.
He has this personality. He's driven. He has no vices outside of Twitter. but he loves it. He loves it. He feels like he's giving us the real scoop, what he's thinking, what he's doing. Okay, so we hate it, then we love it, then we hate it, then we love it. But he got a hold of something, you know? And he loves doing this. And the millennials, I think they love it, and they look forward to it. What's he going to say next? We don't always like what he says, but that's how he feels. He's actually reaching out to us and keeping us up to date in what he's thinking, those private moments that he has. And I think just all of the what's been going on in the White House, where all of the emails, all of his private phone calls and messages have been put out there.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy doesn't probably know where to go to have that quiet moment. I mean, I don't know how he can endure. It's really something, but he has that personality. He is tough. He's really tough.
The Teflon Don. I think many people say he has a big ego, and maybe that's true, but I think part of having that ego that he has and the personality that he has is the ability to not be bothered by the negative, to feed off the media, no matter how negative it is. It's almost like it motivates him to try to do better and to try to make the media even more crazy.
What you know of him and how you see him with Twitter, is he playing the media is he playing the media as people?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think somewhat, sure. I mean, he's having fun with this because he can just rattle everybody's cages, and he does. He does.
Oh, yeah.
He gets people so freaked out, and that's his way to get back at you. And yeah, definitely. But you know, he loves his family. He really does. Look at, he's had the Miss Universe pageant. He's been in Russia. He's had the pageants there. One of the most expensive homes on the island here was his property. He bought it from someone who went to jail and renovated the whole thing and sold it, I believe, to a Russian. So, I mean, he's always had some kind of dealings with them, in and out, here and there. And you see all these things that are being said, and most of them, you know, when you're in the business and you're building golf courses all over the world, you know, you're going to meet these people, and it's amazing to hear some of these stories. And I'm sure Steve Banyan would say this too, that it's unfortunate, but they're going to try to find something on him. But he's that tough. He's that strong. And I think he probably looks at the United States as something he's going to conquer, just like his buildings or his businesses or back 20 years ago, Palm Beach, he was going to conquer it. And he did.
And I conquer or save. I mean, conquer or improve or save. Because yes. Okay, yeah.
It's all, you know, it's kind of the same. To conquer is to get a hold of it.
Right.
Own it. And that's what he does. That's why he has been successful. And it's not because he's always been successful. He's up, down, up, down. And he's been sued. Atlantic City, he's had issues with some of his gambling resorts. So he's been up and down. And there was a time when he thought he was going to lose Mar-a-Lago, and that's when he turned it into a club. Ooh, Palm Beach didn't want to know about that either. But he did, and he's made Palm Beach, you know, worldwide. He's made it recognizable.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of stuff he loves. It's those challenges.
Going back to Steve Bannon, did you hear that he wanted to hold a rally, a Patriot rally in St. Louis in the next few weeks?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
I think it's interesting. I think it's very interesting. I think that if anybody's going to have anything like that, I think you have to have a lot of security right now.
Oh, yeah.
We know from our colleges. I think it's very dangerous what's going on in California and so forth. I do worry, you know, about these people that are going out there and they're trying to speak, you know, freely. I think our freedom of speech, we're losing a lot of it, First Amendment, and it's frightening. And I would love to see them go out there, but I would love for them also to be very careful.
Do you think that he chose that specific city because of the danger, because of the recent social and civil unrest there?
Yeah, we're trying to get a handle on the motive and the context, I guess.
Yeah, I think that he's, you know, you can see why he and President Trump get along. They do have like minds.
Yeah, they do.
They do. They like the challenge.
Well, see, I ask because in the 60 Minutes interview that Steve Bannon did with Charlie Rose and in other statements he made after leaving the White House, he made it very clear that he could do more for Trump outside of the White House rather than being in the inner circle. And I do agree with that to a great extent. But my question is, how much help is this going to bring Donald Trump versus how much possible division and violence will we see from an event like this? And is he just trying to push buttons in these hotspot areas of social justice, where instead he could go to a place like Iowa or Pennsylvania or Florida and have the same effect with the rallies, but instead he's choosing a place where we have seen, you know, ongoing day after day after day clashes with the police in an already volatile situation?
Well, perhaps he's thinking that he can do something, perhaps by bringing it to the surface, so to speak. He doesn't want to shy away from it. And I would imagine that he has spoken with the president regarding this and what they would want to accomplish by going there. You know, President Trump has a lot of, you know, people out there that are helping him and working with him. We maybe don't hear about them. We don't see them. A lot of, you know, feet on the ground.
Sure.
And I'm sure that he's working with people to try to get things accomplished that he needs to get accomplished, or to get it to the surface, to get his point across. And he needs that right now. He needs people to stand up for him. and to try to figure out and sort our way through these mazes that we've got going on.
Very good. And for those people joining us, of course, Rox Cella is our guest. We only have about 5 minutes left. And for those people who don't know, she's a host of the Mad T Show, also Mad Deep, MadTShow.com, social networking feed, everything you can get off of the MadTShow.com. I'm going to ask you a question here. You don't have to answer it, okay? I don't want you to, talk out of school. Have you spoken to the president since he's been elected president?
No, I'm going to be honest. No, I have not.
Okay, all right.
It's almost impossible.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the security and everything, and it's really too much going on that I wouldn't even, attempt to unless there was something that was happening where I felt that I needed to.
Okay, because my follow-up question would be, have you colluded with the Russians?
No, I haven't. No, it's been really, it's been quite amazing, the whole story, and looking back on it, and it's really something to watch it and see it unfold. But as I said a few minutes ago, Doug and Joe, I believe in our president, and I know you hear that from a lot of people, but I do believe in him, and I believe that it is difficult for him, and I'm sure he needs all of the prayers that we can possibly give him.
Amen. Amen to that.
And
in the remaining moments we have, and this has been such a delight for me, and I thank you so much for your gift of time. In the remaining moments we have, I really would like you to tell people basically where they could, again, where they can listen to you, find you, and kind of an overview of your objectives since you've been red-pilled, so to speak. The last few minutes, you have the floor.
Oh, thank you. Well, I've certainly enjoyed my time with you as I did the other day. And I think that we have to, as America, come together. And I think we should not worry so much about our color, where we come from, but where we're going in the future. And there's only one way to do that, and that's to make America strong. And I think through God, and looking towards him and looking towards our White House and knowing that God's there in the White House, it's a beautiful thing. And to support a wonderful president, he's maybe not always wonderful, but then I guess who is? And you can find me on the Matt T Show. And we're always there. We have so many shows and all the three or four other girls that are working with us, Robin, our producer. We're all committed into giving you real news by real women. We're just everyday people just trying to share our life experiences with you, our viewers. Okay. And thank you so much.
Kind of like The View, but the right way, the proper way, right?
I said this the last time. The View's got to go.
You know what? You guys should be in their place, because from what I've seen, and I have to commend the joint effort. I love your show. I really do. And I'm not just saying that. It's really refreshing to see the dynamic there at play, at work, whatever.
We're all very committed, and we're all very deep. We don't always, maybe doesn't always come across, but we do have very strong commitments to family, to our country, to America, and that's really where we all need to be at.
Amen. And true patriots, and you're a true patriot, I believe, and certainly a person that I have a lot of respect for, we have a lot of respect for. And I just want to thank you again for agreeing to come back. I had to twist John's arm. I said, come on, man, I was gone last time. Bring her back.
And
we're probably going to do the same and get you back here again in the near future, because these interviews have been a lot of fun, and we've covered a lot of ground.
Give President Donald Trump a call.
I'll get a signed autographed photo for you.
Well, we'll have him come on. In fact, we'll stand back. You can interview him, even talk about the marble. choices.
The bathrobe.
Oh, there you go.
I've got some great memories for sure. Thanks for sharing them with me.
Well, you know, thanks for your time. Again, we're at the end of the segment. God bless you so very much.
Thank you for your work. Oh, my gosh. I love the Hagmann Report. You guys, it's just real good stuff. It's real news.
Well, thank you so much. And we appreciate that vote of confidence. Yeah. So until next time, God bless. And thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye, guys.
That was Rox Chella, folks. What a great lady. What a great show. TheMattTShow.com. And it's linked in the program description. Joe, you had talked to her the first time, and we had a discussion.
John and I did.
Yeah, and we had a discussion about the show, about her, and about their position. And
well, she's got a great and diverse background from the world of media, from the Hollywood side to
fashion
shows. You know, she was a part of a reporter for fashion shows too.
She worked alongside Schwarzenegger in True Lies.
She was in the movie. Actually.
In the movie, yeah. Yeah, that's what I meant.
And she made her way to a journalist where she became friends with Donald Trump. And it is awesome to see, the progression of her career. And, you know, I can't imagine anything better than going from, you know, being in Hollywood in that culture, of liberalism to being on, the front lines fighting for the freedoms
right. But a real assessment, though, going back, of Donald Trump the man, kind of unvarnished assessment.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
That was Rox Chella, folks. We'll be right back with Pastor David Langford, as we are each and every Wednesday in hour number 3. Don't go anywhere.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God particle before CERN actually discovered the God particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagmann. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagmann takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentations. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmannandHagmann.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood. At HagmannandHagmann.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.